It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We could leave any day, call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time.
We'll save the Hendrix's Crosby conversation for our caller, Keith, who wants to talk Ravens. But before we went to break, I said there was quarterback news in the division. Well, after being hit with the transition tag, which would have made his salary over $37 million, this season for the Colts come to an agreement with Daniel Jones. 2 years, $88 million, could be up to $100 million. He gets $50 million in the first year. So the Colts don't commit long-term to Daniel Jones. It is interesting that he gets $50 million in that first year. How many games will he actually play? I know they're going to tell us, and he'll certainly tell us, at least early in the process, that they expect him back by the start of the year. But what will Daniel Jones be? Let's say Daniel Jones recovers remarkably and he's back and ready to go. What will he look like in year one of this deal where they're giving him all this money? Now, they didn't lock in long-term because it's probably pretty smart not to lock in long-term with Daniel Jones when he gave you about nine games of good play. But Jonathan Taylor was the MVP of that team until Daniel Jones got hurt. Daniel Jones was a supplement. Certainly, he helped because we saw what they kind of turned into later in the year, although the Texans let Alec Pierce do what he did. But so Daniel Jones important, but not the best player on offense.
I mean, we've seen what guys with torn Achilles.
Aaron Rodgers.
Like, it took him a year.
Kirk Cousins.
It took him a year.
Now, he's younger, so that might help. But
he's also more dependent on his athleticism.
His athleticism was part of what made him effective last year.
Like, I don't know. It seems hard to believe that this will be, like, awesome. Like, even if he...
I'm sure they've
the Achilles. It's still Daniel Jones who had eight good games.
We don't know what would have been the final result. They are on path to make the playoffs, so maybe the Texans don't make it if Daniel Jones is healthy the rest of the way, although he did lose the first game to them.
Their offense was already, like, kind of sputtering before.
You were seeing the seams of what was...
The league had, you know, I don't know, figured it out, but had figured it out to where they're not a record-breaking
when he got hurt, they were trailing the Jags at the time.
It's crazy. I mean, it makes sense, like, logically. Like, if you are Shane Steichen and if you are Chris Ballard, like, your job is on the line and this is the first guy that has, like, worked out for you in a way that you believe could be, I mean, semi-long-term. Can be more than 1 year, essentially.
But I think we've talked about it. Kyler Murray's still out there. Now, you didn't have him last year. Maybe you have concerns about him like other people do, but if we're talking about guys who are going to be at least healthy and can certainly play at the level of Daniel Jones as long as Jonathan Taylor's behind him, why aren't we paying
Murray's been a better quarterback every year of
aren't we paying him the minimum because of what the Cardinals are going to give him if he was interested in signing? We don't know that.
Maybe he wasn't, but I don't know. For the Colts, this is exactly what the Texans probably wanted them to do. You know, this is what the Texans and the Jags were like, good. They brought back Daniel Jones for, well, how much was it a year? Like, it's
two years, 88, could be up to 100. I'm looking for what's guaranteed.
So $40 million a year?
Pretty much. But I'm sure they can, I'm sure the bonus will allow for it not to be the full on 37, whatever it would have been. So the numbers are giant, as all NFL quarterback contracts are. But you can work around it so it's not so crushing to your cap, and they may have done that in year one.
Daniel Jones on his deal or Malik Willis on his deal?
Well, they're two teams in two different spots because the Dolphins don't have to win. They're taking a flyer, and if it works out, great. If it doesn't, you can go draft a quarterback.
I think I'd rather just take a flyer.
After watching Malik Willis and his limited starts, you'd rather have him?
even for the Colts who have – they have to win. They believe they have to win if they're getting fired.
I guess that is the thing. That's the actual thing, is that they have job pressure that, in theory, Malik Willis has played, five or six good games as a pro. Daniel Jones has, I guess, played slightly more than that, but he's also played, 20, 25 more bad ones?
Sure.
he's just played
– There's
Two full seasons worth of bad games.
As much as Malik Willis struggled in Tennessee for the few starts he had, there's far less bad tape of Malik Willis than there is of Daniel Jones.
I'm just trying to think of other guys that signed, and there's not that many. Kyler is the one where you're like,
I wonder what's taking so long with
him. Did you give him a call?
What's he waiting on? I don't know Minnesota's capsis stuff situation. Are they maneuvering to make room? What's he waiting on? Where's he going to go?
He could sign for the minimum, and get offset.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out why there is a delay with Kyler Murray. Who's bidding on him, and why isn't Minnesota just signing him?
Mystery team?
Is the Steelers maybe? Is that a team who would compete for him?
Do they sign anybody? Not a quarterback.
Yeah. So maybe it's the Steelers. I'm trying to think of other teams. Because the Jets traded for Geno Smith, so he is their quarterback for the year.
Geno Smith or Daniel Jones?
The problem is
current contract.
Recent Geno Smith, last year's Geno Smith, untenable. But the Raiders were bad. That's why they're signing all the players this offseason.
At least Geno Smith was good for 2 years.
There are more years of Geno Smith being good than Daniel Jones. I think I would go Geno Smith.
I think Daniel Jones, it was such a strong first impression, and then he got hurt. Mentally, it is that guy from the first 6 weeks of the season.
It's a mini version of CJ Stroud in year one, where that still lasts despite, let's just say, slightly above average play outside of the recent playoff stuff.
Would you want to give CJ Stroud $44 million to play quarterback next year?
Hell no.
This is – it's crazy.
Hell no. But CJ Stroud could be above average and get that number. You're talking 41. The question is he going to get near 60? That requires good quarterback play. Maybe the Texans have a stronger backbone than all the other NFL teams – but if he is simply what Trevor Lawrence had been, which is where he stands now, he's going to get his $50 million plus from the Texans.
If they just make the playoffs, I have a hard time seeing the world where they make the playoffs and CJ Stroud plays so poorly that he does not get a contract.
Where they have to go in a different direction,
I guess offense plays a part in this, but Tua or Daniel Jones?
The problem for Tua is there may be issues we actually cannot see because of the brain injury stuff.
And I think that – I don't think Tua would fit well with what Steichen wants to do with movement, pumping the ball downfield like that. Tua he's more of the short –
timing, short stuff.
Yeah, short stuff.
Even when he was at his best, sure, he could – it's Tyreek Hill. You're going to be able to hit him downfield. But it was the in-breakers. It was all those things.
And he's a lefty. I don't want to flip by playbook.
You want to keep two lefties in one spot. That's why they're both in Atlanta.
I mean, honestly, I can't believe it hasn't happened before.
Haven't been enough lefties. That's been the issue.
That's what it is.
Yeah. Let's get to Keith. He wants to talk some Ravens. They bring in Trey Hendrickson after telling the Raiders, actually, we'll take our picks back. You can keep Max Crosby. What's up, Keith?
Hey, guys. Crazy week for a Ravens fan. Felt like we lost 10 players in the last couple days. We had Max Crosby, then we flip him back, get Trey Hendrickson, who's older, but we keep the two picks. I think the physical concerns, this and that, it hasn't been official yet. I think, it looks bad on paper, but ultimately, every player has to take a physical. Trey Hendrickson still has to take his physical. I think he had hip surgery or some type of surgery not too long ago, but obviously that physical will be a little bit smoother knowing that there's not two picks attached to it. In terms of Kyler Murray, I think he should sign with the Raiders if they have any money left. He'll start the first four games and send Mendoza out there in game five. But I like what the Ravens are doing. We got to recover some of these Harbaugh players that are off to New York. I think EDC should be on watch because outside of Kyle Hamilton the last 4 years, as the sole, you know, the lead guy in the draft room since Ozzie Newsome retired. He hasn't been great. Like Malachi Starks last year, first round pick, not great. You know, and if you look at his last 4 years, you know, there's been a lot of like so-so players in that regard. So, you know, Hendrickson, he knows the division well. We keep the two picks. We've got to somehow hit on those first two picks, that first round pick plus the 10 more, and then we get the 2027 pick as well. And Lamar restructures the contract. So we're not out of it yet. And I think Sean did mention I was a top three caller. Thanks, guys.
He's never said that. Sean can't refute it because he's on the phone. But no one here, certainly on this show, has called you a top three caller. Thank you for the mini Ravens podcast. Keith, I don't know what Jason Lockham for. You heard Keith mention EDC. That's Eric DaCosta. I don't know what Jason Lockham for has against Eric DaCosta, but he had a three or four tweet rant where he ripped him apart after it was found out that Max Crosby and that trade was going to be rescinded. The Baltimore Ravens ain't winning nothing with the fraud-ass front office. Team Prez is the worst GM in NFL history, and the GM is overmatched and should have been fired before the coach. He goes on to say Ozzie Newsome's family tree is at least GM family tree, and I don't know what he thinks of Ozzie Newsome's actual family, but his family tree is filled with failures, and his replacement is one of them. People scared to speak the truth in this town. Ozzie Newsome handed this egomaniac a 14-win roster, and he did bleep with it, but run it down, ignore pass rush, believe his own BS, and sign the wrong guys. Good luck with rookie coaches and this roster. He goes on to say he talked to some GMs, and he says, good luck finding agents and teams that trust you in negotiations now. I mean, you hand them money, they'll be fine. Hey, look, Trey Henderson, trust the Ravens just fine. Now, he tweeted all that stuff before Trey Hendrickson signs. But, hey, somehow, some way, Trey Hendrickson got over any anxiety he may have had with signing with the Ravens when they gave him 4 years, $100-plus million. See how that works? See how silly you sound? All it takes is getting your bag, and people will be just fine trusting you. As far as the rest of Keith's call, I don't care. There's a lot of Raven stuff. I kind of tuned out. As soon as he said EDC, I was like, all right.
That's also where I was like, EDC?
Eric DaCosta's not big enough where you can drop EDC on a Houston radio show.
Yeah, no. I also just was unaware that people had that much smoke for him. Both Keith and
Lock and Four.
Like, yeah. I thought he was just kind of, I don't know, pretty okay.
Yeah,
like
apparently that. Not. Apparently he's ruining Newsom's legacy.
The once great franchise.
Yeah. Wayne, you want to talk Raiders and Ravens? We'll talk to you when we come back. Anyone else want to get in? 713-780-3776. Wayne, we'll get to you right when we come back.
ESPN 97.5.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, it's the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
So we're going to get to Wayne here, then we're going to talk some NBA because the Rockets played, of course, Bam breaks. I keep saying breaks. He breaks Kobe's number, I guess we'll say it that way. He gets beyond Kobe's number. We also had a really good, compelling game, Celtics-Spurs, that we'll talk about. And mostly because apparently if it's a close game, no one can get ejected. And I do think it's funny what started Jaylen Brown's path to an ejection. After watching the video over and over again, he certainly deserves it. Not for going after the ref, but how he tried to grift and then paid for it with an ejection. We'll talk about that. But let's get to Wayne. He wants to talk Raiders, Ravens. What's up, Wayne?
How you doing?
We're good. How are you?
I'm doing well. I didn't have much. I thought it was crazy that Max Crosby got sent back to the Raiders, but then the NFL, whoever is going to make the schedule this year, I don't, you know, how they, you know, they would put, you know, divisions against divisions, but what if the Raiders met the Ravens this year? I mean, how, what's the storyline would be for that game? I mean, after all that happened and then the storyline would pop up for that game, that would be crazy. A Sunday night Baltimore Ravens versus the Vegas Raiders. If Max Crosby's there or not, but if he's there, it would be insane.
Unfortunately, we don't get that opportunity. If it was the NCAA tournament, they would make sure this happened, but not on the schedule. You know,
So it can't happen. No, it's not on the schedule.
Those two teams don't play each other, and it's unlikely they'd meet in the playoffs, but we'll see. Yeah, I don't know how it would go. We haven't heard from Max Crosby other than I think he tweeted something about another year sober. So that is part of his story. The reporting around Max Crosby is he is willing to stay with the Raiders while the Raiders are willing to keep him. We'll see how that plays out. There's plenty of offseason to go. Yeah, Raiders-Ravens isn't a thing, unfortunately, this year. So we will have to just wonder. Maybe there's a preseason game and the narrative will come up. But they, whether because of cold feet when they realized two first-round picks were leaving their coffers or that injury was worse than they thought, they made a decision. And despite all the words from Jason Lacapora ripping Eric DaCosta in the Ravens front office, or Tom Pelissero, who I didn't know he had it in him. He had about like 2.5 minutes of talking about what the implications are for the Ravens around the league and how could you do it. He goes, you can't do this to Max Crosby. He's one of the stars of the league. That was part of his take was, this is Max Crosby. This can't happen to Max Crosby. I was like, well, okay. I mean, the Ravens have won Super Bowls. I don't know that they care.
Yeah.
Max Crosby if they think that knee is worse and it's something they don't want to deal with. And they had an alternative. They had a guy waiting who was willing to take their money. And we'll see if he passes his physical. That has to happen.
Dirty pool by the Ravens. I'm calling shenanigans on the Ravens.
What do you think they did? Do you think they got cold feet, or do you think the knee was worse than they thought?
I think the knee might have been like a little bit, but like, come on. The fact that they signed Trey Hendrickson to like $25 million per year deal after that, when he'd been asking for 30.
Hendrickson was like, huh.
No first-round picks either?
And the numbers started floating around that he had relented on his price tag, and they're like, you know what? He's older. He's asking for less, though. We can keep our picks. Let's go. Let's go.
If I were to guess, that is my guess as to what happened. I just don't know how bad the knee would have to be for Crosby's,
because they knew it wasn't a surprise. He missed the season, the back half of the season, because of an injury. They knew the deal, but once you get a look, but Adam Schefter, in fact, let's play that.
Yeah.
Adam Schefter kind of gave a bit of a timeline on how a doctor who would know things looked at the knee and kind of okayed this until the Ravens said, "Nah, we're good."
This is a highly unusual circumstance that will create enormous ripple effects, and nobody knows how it will turn out now. Whether Max Crosby will wind up playing in Vegas, whether the Raiders will trade him, what the return and a trade for him will be, but no question that this is a setback for all involved right now, because the Baltimore Ravens essentially failed him on their physical. And my understanding is there were multiple doctors that reviewed his MRI scans. There were doctors that examined him, including Dr. Daniel Cooper, the Dallas Cowboys doctor that performed surgery on Patrick Mahomes and Malik Nabers. Many teams and players rely on Dr. Cooper's expertise. And Dr. Cooper was one of the doctors that reviewed the images where the Ravens then felt compelled to back out of this trade. So there are a whole host of ramifications. Moments ago, Max Crosby's agent, CJ LaBoy, issued a statement that Max Crosby is doing great. He'll be back better than ever, and he'll be the game wrecker. But meanwhile, the Raiders have Max Crosby back in their possession. The Ravens need to move on. And Max Crosby now needs to figure out where he's going to be playing in 2026 as he continues to recover from what was said to be a significant knee injury.
And they did move on to Trey Hendrickson.
Yeah,
the Ravens were quick to move on. They're like, hey.
Suspiciously quick. I think it's also that, like Schefter said, like, it is actually bad for all parties to do this, in theory. But then when you immediately sign a guy who plays the same position to less than his market value, not more. Because if it was a panic move, you'd think that they relent to Trey Hendrickson's reported asking price.
Yeah.
They got not like a deal on him, but it's a little bit lighter than you'd think. So, I don't know. Just my thoughts. Same thing with the Lakers and Mark Williams. I also kind of think they kind of saw the reaction. And
well, did the Cowboys back out of this as well? Now, were they an asking price? Was that an asking price deal, or did they see the knee and go, nope, not for us? Because if the Cowboys did it too, then now you have two teams saying the asking price plus the knee is too much for us to feel good about.
And this is something where I'm not entirely – it wasn't entirely clear in that, where Schefter is saying that a lot of doctors, including the Cowboys team doctor, who does surgeries on people's ACLs all the time, like, reviewed it. Now, did he review it for the Ravens, or did he review it for the Cowboys? But I don't see how the Cowboys cannot make the trade and get to look at his knee while the Ravens had to make the trade and then got to look at his knee. You know, like, I don't understand the, like, information trade that happens there before the actual trade happens. So, or it might be a thing that that's why the Cowboys' price was lower. It was because their doctor was like, I don't know, this thing looks like shredded cheese, or I don't know. I don't know what's wrong with his knee that it would be so alarming, but there's like either inside info happening with the Cowboys and the Ravens are on the outside, or they all kind of knew and the Ravens thought it was bad enough that they're like, you know what, let's just get Hendrickson instead.
Yeah, beyond the immediate proof that no one knows what they're talking about when they say teams would or agents would have some concerns about working with the Ravens going forward because they can't be trusted. Greg Rosenthal, I think he works for NFL Network, he tweeted out something like, yeah, the NFL famous for not looking after their own self-interest. Yeah. People involved in the NFL always are, you know what? What the Ravens did to Max Crosby and the Raiders, dirty pool. We're not going to deal with them. What are we talking about?
Yeah, if they have the highest bid on the next free agent or trade, guess what?
That guy will be a Raven. What are we talking about?
Yeah.
So immediately, less than 12 hours after all that noise about how could the Ravens have done this, one of the other big-time free agents, or at least available defensive ends on the market, decides, I'll play there. Didn't even consider, wait a minute, I'm a Bengal. I don't want to join the Ravens. That's my rival. Didn't even think twice about it. Dopey people always saying things. So that's what happened in the NFL. We'll see what happens next. If there's more news to discuss, we'll certainly let you know. If Max Crosby is a Raider, cool. If not, we'll see what team gets him probably at a discount.
Yeah,
as far as compensation.
For me, it's even less where Crosby goes. It's more like,
what are the Raiders going to get? Yeah, because the Raiders are apparently standing firm right now that you're going to need two first-round picks to trade to get Max Crosby. We'll see as this stretches on closer and closer to the draft, if it does, in fact, do that, if the price comes down. All right, we'll get to this before we go to break. Sure, Bam, 83, Rockets win. We had a game on NBC, Spurs, Celtics, positioned as best game of the night. You had two teams who think they can win a title. Cool. Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum are back against that Spurs team who we saw up close, at least on our TVs, how good they can be when they're dismantling the Rockets. During the middle of the game, Jaylen Brown is near the sideline, and I think it was Dylan Harper who puts a hand in his back, and let's just say light contact occurred. Jaylen Brown tries to accentuate the contact, tries to embellish, maybe is a better word, and kind of falls, staggers out of bounds. He does not get a foul call. The referee goes, we're going the other way, out of bounds on the Celtics. Jaylen Brown doesn't like it. He has some words for the official, barks at him a couple of times, eventually picks up a tech because he wouldn't cut it out. As the official walked away, Jaylen Brown kept going after him, got a tech. And as he gets a tech, he gets angrier. His teammates try to get over to him. He goes after the referee again, and then another referee throws him out of the game. There's a very funny moment where apparently Keldon Johnson knows how this ref throws people out of the game. He's standing on the sideline and mimics the ref at the same time he does it. It's very funny. Like, find that clip.
Like he's imitating Ken Griffey Jr.
Yeah, like a batting stance. Yeah, maybe he's seen that ref throw guys out before, but he knows what he's about to do, and he's in time, does the same thing the ref does as he throws him out. Joe Mazzulla, because he's Joe Mazzulla, after the game said, "Hey, I really respected my principal because he didn't have the hall monitor to throw people out. He did it himself when he was dealing with students," talking about how one ref didn't take it upon himself after he was being yelled at to throw Jaylen Brown out. Another guy did. Apparently, this ref has a bad reputation. I forgot his name. But people in the NBA, particularly Celtic fans,
don't like him.
Don't like him. Keith Smith, who is...
He's not the guy who... Oh, no, wait. That was the ref that was a Celtics fan that got asked to stop refereeing.
Yeah, so the ref's name is Tyler Ford. Keith Smith, of course, Keith Smith, NBA. He quote-tweeted himself, "There are a number of players and coaches and team officials who have a problem with Tyler Ford handing out quick and what they think are unwarranted technical fouls. Ford is also the official who tried to step over Yusuf Nurkic when he was injured and on the ground last week." This is back in 2019. And then he quotes, tweets it with this: "Almost 7 years ago, the worst ref the NBA has, absolutely awful, constantly making things about him, and nothing was ever done when he tried to step Nurkic, who was on the floor with a broken leg, and kicked him." He goes, Tyler Ford sucks. What Lacken Ford is to Eric DaCosta, Keith Smith is to this referee. So I watched the play over and over again to see why Jaylen Brown was upset. He's upset because he flopped and didn't get the call.
Yeah. Also, the reason he flopped is because he was dribbling into the corner where he's
going to
be triple teamed.
Yeah, he was going to.
With Wembanyama as one of the three.
He was going to be in a tough spot.
He was looking to get bailed out.
Yes. And when the ref, rightfully so, didn't bail him out, he got embarrassed and got upset and had some words. I heard NBA players discuss this on the broadcast, a couple broadcasts, and they said, "Yeah, you can't point and then go after the referee. That's a technical." But then it evolved into, "Hey, it's a big game. You can't throw him out." I'm like, so if it's a big game, you can just do whatever you want. I know Draymond has that, but is that for everybody? If it's a big game, you can just do whatever you want because we got a big game, national product, national television. We need our stars. What could Jaylen Brown have done to deserve a tech? Like, if he made contact, I don't think anyone bothers and says he can't get thrown out of a game. But you are admitting he was doing things that get you a technical. And when he did them again, he shouldn't get the second technical.
I also think that – I think the big game, you can't make yourself the story thing. Can we save that for, like,
the playoffs?
Game four and after of the playoffs?
Yeah, it's a regular season game against the Spurs. What are we talking about?
Like, that's where I'm like, this is too big of a game. What are you talking about?
Yeah, I don't.
If this didn't happen, like, we're never talking about this game. Like, I don't know.
A lot, the NBA purists, I guess, they had an interesting night last night. First, the 83 or the 83 came after.
It's been tough.
But the whole, you can't throw them out of this game. Why? Because I'm going to remember Spurs versus Celtics and the outcome in June?
Yeah. Like,
it's maybe, not like the game is going to determine home court.
Yeah.
So, maybe it will, but who knows. But
maybe
unlikely.
They play in the finals.
Yeah. Like, we'll think about, hey, remember when this happened and Tyler Ford's refereeing this finals game? But as far as you can't throw him out because it's such a big game, cut it out.
Also, if they play in the finals, you know what those games are?
Big games.
Much bigger games.
And then if Tyler Ford throws out Jaylen Brown, I may agree with you, unless Jaylen Brown flopped again and didn't get a call and got really upset and embarrassed, then maybe I say, hey, you take what you get if you don't calm down after the first tech.
This is also something, like, this specific type of flop is something that James Harden and Chris Paul would do all the time in 2018 and 19. And this is where it's like, all right, like, it's just such a bailout every time. Like, it just... The possession is going nowhere fast. It's going to be a turnover or a terrible pass, and the best you can do is just fall over and the hand that it was Castle puts on him.
Okay,
it's like
it's nothing.
It's contact, but it's
nothing. He feels the hand and decides to fall down or at least stumble.
He reaches and fouls him completely, like unrelated to that. Like, there's like another contact in that thing that also never gets called that would be more likely to get called. And that's like, I don't know. Like,
I know the guy who just wasn't on a stream talking about he's the best two-way player in basketball is falling over at that type of contact.
When's the next time they play the Wizards? That's the only way he can work himself out.
He better go get 85.
Is Bam Adebayo the best two-way player in the NBA?
I mean,
no one else has 80-point potential.
Things that need to be discussed.
And he's going to be on all defense.
He certainly thinks the fun. I think someone was very funny because Bam has been campaigning for years about being DPOY. And if you look at how he can defend 1 through 5, maybe Marcus Smart shouldn't have won that award 1 year or a Triple J. But this and what he did last night offensively, it's going to help his case as far as defensive player of the year and all defense more than anything he did defensively, because now there are more eyes on him going forward. It's just weird. Narratives are always the ones that lead to these things. Sure, there are some nerds who do the analytics and numbers, but it's always like, hey, if I feel a certain way, I want to vote for this guy, as evidenced by Bill Simmons saying he wasn't going to vote for Kevin Durant as All-NBA because of the burner stuff. These are the guys put in spots to vote on these things. So never take it seriously. And the person you don't take seriously the most from last night, Jaylen Brown. You flopped, got embarrassed, and decided to take it on the refs. And, of course, if you don't like referees like Keith Smith NBA does, you can point to the ref as a problem. You know what? Don't flop, fall over, and when you're standing up upset, put your hand in the middle of some little girl's chest. That's the other thing you don't see. For people who didn't watch it, as he's falling and gets upset and tries to keep from falling down into someone in a chair, he has to use a little girl who's standing up as a brace to stand up. Jaylen Brown, it was an embarrassing performance for you last night. Just go out there and play. You've had a great year. A potential MVP candidate with all the you-got-to-play-65-game stuff. Yeah. You didn't have to do that. And you got thrown out of a game that your team eventually lost because apparently the Spurs are the scariest team on earth.
Embarrassment power rankings from last night, or slash yesterday. Mark DeRosa, Jaylen Brown, people who say
O'Shea Jackson Jr.
I was going to just say everyone who says Bam Adebayo should have stopped at 81 out of respect.
That's embarrassing.
Like, that is...
It's ridiculous and embarrassing.
It's an embarrassing public opinion to have.
I'm going to go with Mark DeRosa.
Really?
Even though I shoot him bail, someone should have informed him. You're the manager of a team who purposely ran out a roster because you thought you had everything clinched. And people didn't like you in the spot to begin with because you've never been a manager before. Then you add this to the mix and the existential dread that people have of the U.S. team not making out a pool plate because Mexico and Italy do.
Mm-hmm. We invented this game, Dale.
Sure. That's important at this time.
We should be in the semis.
You know what we sound like? We sound like Canada, who hasn't won a Stanley Cup since 93
and just lost the
gold medal. That's what you want to sound like the Canadians?
They're losers, though.
Okay, but us, winners, except if we play Italy, which is just American castoffs, who couldn't make the American team. So doesn't America still win if all the guys, except for three, are actually American-born players on that Italian team?
What does it say on your passport, buddy?
I bet it better change.
When you're making all those frequent trips in the offseason back to Italy.
Yeah.
Back home to Italy.
I'm sure he's running through Calabria during the offseason.
Vinny Pasquantino's like, man, we got to wrap this game up. I need to wake up early tomorrow to watch Juventus play.
Ah, that's where you're wrong. He's a big Lazio fan. See? Learn your Italian baseball team, Sean. He's nicknamed Pasquatch.
Cool.
Exactly. Just enjoy your time, and hopefully Mexico beats you by more than 5 runs.
I think the Kobe people are first. DeRosa.
Oh, okay. And then, you Kobe stands first.
Yeah.
Considering the crash outs on Twitter, you may be right. I think DeRosa, because of his fame.
Yeah, like he actually did something that affects people.
Yeah.
Whereas that just makes me be like, come on, dude.
Think less of you if you're tweeting about.
Yeah. And then Jaylen Brown, I also think a little bit less of you, but also the game's kind of the game. Like, you're not the first guy to flop.
Certainly, but then getting thrown out because you're upset that your flopping didn't get rewarded.
That gets you on the medal stand, but.
Yeah, the bronze.
Yeah, but the bronze.
Yeah. DeRosa the Canadian hockey team, and Kobe Stans the gold medalist. All right, we'll go to break with that. We got one more segment to go. We will be back.
ESPN 97.5.
It's the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
We got a couple minutes before we're done. I want to remind you, time to get ready. Bracket Madness is coming soon. Thanks to our presenting sponsor, Golden Nugget Lake Charles, and our supporting sponsors, Two Creeks Crossing Resort and Republic Boot Company. We're going to be out and about for the tournament starting next week. All shows will be out at East River 9 on Friday. The 12 to 6 portion of the day will be out at Knicks on Thursday. So if you're out and about, you want to watch the games with us, those are your two spots the next couple of days. East River 9, of course, where we play golf. But if you haven't heard us talk about it, they've got a great, if you want to call it, club, restaurant, bar area. They got TVs all over that place, and they've got their giant TV outside as well. So if you want to watch a tournament, play around the golf, you got that. And, of course, Knicks, tried and true, sports bar. Get your food, get your TV, watch the tournament all day long. So it'll be fun next week as the tournament gets started. So a couple things before we go. And considering this show, maybe we only get to one thing. Sean, do you know who Kai Kroger is?
Oh, I do know now. I learned who he was yesterday.
Yeah.
Is that the newest Houston Texans punter?
Yes. Tommy Townsend signs elsewhere. The Texans trade for Kai Kroger. And we're not going to harp too much because it's just a punter. There's no real reason to crush him. But considering what he did last year, why are we trading for Kai Kroger? Like, it's low round picks. They're making a swap. It's not that big of a deal as far as compensation. But if we go by what the numbers that Cody Stutes put together, you can find it at Cody underscore Stutes. When you compare him to Tommy Townsend, Tommy Townsend was very average. In fact, in the middle when it came to average punt, he wound up 16th in average punt, wound up 16th in net, did a great job pinning people inside the 10, third in the NFL. Kai Kroger, 28th in average punt. Net 30th, inside the 20, 27th. Those numbers suggest maybe there's an unrestricted free agent after the draft that you could grab if you wanted one. Forget about guys who've done it before on the NFL level. I'm not saying draft a punter. You don't have to do that. The Texans don't actually have many low round day three picks. A lot of their stuff is in the second through fourth rounds, and of course their first rounder. But why are we trading for a guy who wasn't good last year? That's all. Once again, not going to harp. I just don't understand it. He wasn't good for the Saints. What could they have seen? Maybe they liked him out of college. That has to be it, right?
I think there was something where, like, because he's a second-year player or going into his second year. So I think there was, like, some sort of, like, 2025 draft, like, story about how they looked at this guy. But I don't know. Let Frank Ross get his hands on him.
Yeah. First he gives them a haircut, because that's what Frank Ross does, and then he fixes them. Maybe he fixes them. I just don't know why you would even be interested.
This is where, if Kai Kroger's any good, this is where I would struggle as a GM, because like, I wouldn't even think about doing this. I would just sign whoever. Off the free agents. Bring back Tommy Townsend. I don't care.
Yeah, like, I mean, apparently Tommy Townsend too expensive, and Kai Kroger.
How much money could they possibly be saving?
Well, they traded for a young guy. They don't have to pay him very much.
I know, but how much were they paying Tommy Townsend?
Well, let's find out what Tommy Townsend signed for before you scoff at him being too expensive. Tommy Townsend. Let's see what he got. 2 years, $6 million deal from the Chiefs to go back to the Chiefs. No, excuse me. I'm trying to find the latest on Tommy Townsend. Thank you. He is a Titan. 2 years, $6 million, according to Drew Rosenhaus. Did you want to pay a punter $3 million per year?
I mean, you're paying Kroger one.
And maybe you get a performance of half of one. Maybe you're going to get a 500K performance if you go by what he did last year.
Yeah, like I saving $2 million for going from the 16th punter to the 25th. Like, what are we doing?
Tommy Townsend, great at pinning people inside the 10.
Now we are actually going to harp on it. The Texans need to be good at special teams.
They need,
if their offense sucks, they need to football this.
They gave Kaimi an extension, rightfully so.
Right.
He's very important.
They need to Iowa football this. They need to be good at punting and kicking if they're going to spend all their...
It's not even just signing a guy that wasn't great. Okay, maybe you like him. But to get into trade discussions over Kai Kroger and have a back and forth about compensation, I don't get it. He's not good enough for this type of time, this show or them.
Okay. Day two of free agency. There's still.
I promise not to get into it, but now I don't understand it.
They signed Braden Smith. They
did a lot of things that you get. Why?
I'm just thinking of the time required to do that. Like, literally.
This is what I'm saying.
The, like,
you have to call
hour
the Saints,
that it took to do this.
Get into a discussion about proper value. Which pick do you want? Which pick do we need? And also, all for a player that wasn't good.
The scouting of Kai Kroger, the idea of, like, hey, let's put together a trade package. Like, what? Mickey Loomis, like, or I don't know, is Mickey Loomis still the GM? I actually think he's retired. But, like, let's get who's our contact for the Saints? Let's give him a call, and we're gonna make a trade with them. And it's like all the like, and then call and get into the league. Like, all this took so much time. That could have been.
You could just sign a guy.
Anyone. You could sign, like you said.
Wait till after the draft.
Find
the best
undrafted rookies.
Find the best punter who didn't get drafted. And bring them in. I bet it costs less than what you're paying Kroger, I would imagine.
Yeah, I mean,
even if you have
Kroger should have to compete for his job. There, I said it.
Well, we got to go, but you're not wrong. When one of the lines in one of these stories written about him is he had an up and down season. I'm out. I'm not trading for the up and down punter.
I don't want someone who's notably had an up and down season. Like
it's enough for a guy who doesn't even cover the Saints, but has to write up about it to make note of it.
Like, the fact that we know how good this guy is, and his team traded him for whatever, 6th round pick. I don't know. You know what? In Frank Ross, we trust.
I preface this segment by saying, considering this show, we probably wouldn't get to a second thing.
It's too ridiculous.
It's nuts.
It's too, like, I think, you know, when Cody Stutes does a show with Landry, like, they'll cover it in a different way than we did. But I think they'll land around, like, the same reaction. Like,
I
don't think they'll say it literally isn't worth the time that it took to make the phone call, but it's not far.
Maybe Kai Kroger will be great. Let him be great for the Saints, is all I'm saying.
Why did this even come up?
I don't know.
For Nick Cassero, not for us. For Nick Cassero.
I'm sure he was desperate to get him in his draft year. Couldn't. Now he has his opportunity. Frank Ross may have stood on the table and demanded Kai Kroger be a Texan. That's probably how it went down. All right.
Get off my damn table.
That's what you do. Nick, hey, Frank, off my table.
Get off my table.
For him?
Come on.
I got you, Jalen Noel. Relax. All right, we're done, thankfully. Comes up next, Rich Eisen. He probably won't talk about Kai Kroger. Who knows what he'll talk about. Then after him, Jeremy and Joe. Since we're done for the day, Sean, what does it mean?
Got nothing for you here.
That's how Nick should have responded to Frank. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
ESPN 97.5.
I assumed you knew.